The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Faster, my good afternoon. Man in Line's on till one today. Open line. Text or WhatsApp 166177. Email studio at manxradio.com. Call 66 13 68, whatever's on your mind. Tomorrow, the Chief Constable will be on, and Friday will be an open line, but as is today. So, what's on your mind? First of all, Wilf's with us now. Hi, Wilf.
I tried to get on yesterday, but too many waiting, so they're going to ring me back, but they didn't. But anyway, that's beside the point. All it was I just wanted to publicly thank Tim Krukow for going with my ideas with over the harbour and going with our commissioners. Because this is what we wanted, you see. But I was listening to Julian. Now, Julian's a very clever man, but he's a computer expert, and he gets these ideas from all over the world. But I don't need to get any ideas from over the world. I know exactly what to do. And my method is you do it once, and it's finished. That's it. If you want to increase the height of the wall, you can do that at a later date. But the two-foot wall does the job. And it's a finished item, and then we don't need the, you know, any men to work anything, to do anything. Maybe come and put some sandbags over some grids. But that's about it. And put the sliders up where they're required. But I never actually got to see the plans when they were in the town hall, because I was tied up with going to hospital and what have you. And I still can't fathom out. I should have looked at the plans when they had them in the town hall later on. But I got the chance, but I told them to put them in the bin. But anyway, so I never got to see them. But I couldn't understand where you lose 50 or 60 car parking spaces. They're all parked in a row, as they are now, and you carry on parking as they are now. I can't see where you lose any spaces. There was a talk about losing spaces or making a space, special space, for the fishermen down on the corner, but that's not required. The fishermen can load and unload where they are now. They're managing now. So why break something when it doesn't want fixing? You see what I mean? Everything's working as it should do now. All we want to do is stop the water coming over. That's it. Nothing else. Nothing. No road reconstruction or anything. I asked them, two or three years ago, the experts again, when they said, and the road needs reconstruction. And I said, what are you going to do to the road? We're going to tarmac it. I said, that's not reconstruction. That's just covering things up to make it look pretty. There's no strength in tarmac. But that's what they were going to do. So presumably they're going to carry on and do that. That's fine. Make it all black tarmac all the way down. On top of what you've got. You don't dig it up and make a mess of it. And the pavement's the other side. They were talking about paviers and stuff like this and special bin spaces for the coffee place. And I said, they're managing now. Why do we want to take spaces away when cars could be getting parked here, there, and everywhere where they can? You go down the quay on a Friday, Saturday, maybe even Sunday, You can't find a space anywhere. The town is full of people coming to shop, and all them spaces are needed. So, it's simple as that. That's all I got to say.
Does anybody know, Wilf, what's underneath the road?
Yes, I do.
What's underneath the road?
Rubble. A couple of years ago, or a year ago, they were digging trenches across the road. Little digger, and the road half shut, and they're digging trenches like a couple of foot wide, maybe a foot deep. And I went to the fellas, I said, why are you digging? Are you going to put some cables in or something? No, we're just looking to see what's under the road. And I said, hang on, there must be a book or something somewhere that says in it how the road was put together in the first place. Can't you find that instead of digging the road up? No, well, that's nothing to do with us. I said, well, what are you guys doing? We're looking to see what's there. I said, well, what's there? Rubble. We're just going to fill the trenches in again. And they dug, I don't know, 3 or 4 different trenches across the quay, all the way up to see what's underneath. Well, in places, that quayside is several feet thick of concrete, especially near the edges. You don't need to do anything. And the thing is, there's a few cracks in the top, but them cracks have been there for donkey's years. And it's not moving, it's not doing anything. It's not going to, the quayside is not going to throw itself into the harbour. It doesn't need anything doing to it at all. They're not touching the walls outside. They've been done. The only open bit, the drains are still there from the different places that the water can go up the drain and come out the grid. So you block the grid and then it don't come out. Now, they were talking about one-way grids. But one-way grids is, in my mind, absolutely useless. They're all right when they're brand new and they're put in, but nobody comes to anywhere in the town and empties any grid that's flooding. So I can't see anybody doing a special trip to work on them. Just leave the ones you've got and put a half bag of sand over top, and that'll do the job. Just stops the water coming up. And if you didn't do any, well, you do that. And normally these things happen when the river's in a big flood, the tide is in a big flood, and it's raining heavy. But if you've got a solid wall all the way down, and where you need, where the gaps are now, they've got sliders in, so nothing can come in from the harbour side. And what rain will fall in that short time, which is about an hour or so, won't flood anything. It'll just wet the ground. You don't need any grids for that short time. It's not going to rain that hard. It's absolute crazy. Mm. Now, Tim was talking about, well, it was mentioned. They started off, my first encounter with them, 2,400,000. Now it went up to 6,400,000. And Tim has mentioned, well, I heard it mentioned, I don't think, that 6 to 8 million.
Crikey.
To do what they want to do. To do what I want to do is a fraction of the cost. I tried to ring Tim yesterday, but I only tried the once. And of course, he's too busy, so couldn't talk to him. Mm. So I'm just thanking him publicly on the man line now.
Is it true that, what he did. Is it true that all the Ramsey commissioners were against this proposal?
They all had different ideas of what they wanted to do, till I convinced them all that to do it my way. And there was a meeting which I don't remember going to, which they said that they're going to, this is what we want to do. And when, the way they wrote it was exactly the way I told them. And I wasn't even at that meeting, as far as I know. I can't remember being at that meeting. But anyway, they must have got between themselves and said, this is what we need to do. Wilf was right. And Wilf is right. It's as simple as that. What I need to do now, if it's at all possible, I need to talk to Tim Kukol and see can I get, well, when they draw the next plan, see can I get amongst these so-called artists, whatever they are, and tell them what to draw of my way of doing it. And I don't want no payment or nothing. I'm just here to, well, I'm here longer than any, and put it that way. I'm here to give advice, and that's all I can do. And my method will work, no doubt about it.
All right. Okay. Well, we appreciate it, and no doubt they've been listening today, so you may be getting a call in the future. All right, Wolf. Good to hear from you.
Okay. All right. Thank
Cheers
you.
Now. All right, and Howard's with us now. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Andy. I wasn't going to come on, but I just heard that, again, Sarah Maltby is pushing the tramway. It's going to be an old chestnut, this, going on for years, but she's pushing through for the tram to be continued through from Broadway to Sea Terminal.
Yeah.
Which everyone and people know it was in the original plans. But the word for that was she's hoping to bring the discussion back from May until April,
yeah.
Bring it forward. And they said the business case is already set up. It's been written and is ready for reading. And people can read it and this, that and the other. But, and that's where the but comes in, even if it does go through as a business case and it's, it does the job that they're saying,
yeah.
They're still going to say it's going to be a year virtually before it'll get started and going to take virtually another year, 40 weeks, to complete it. But I saw this week, I don't know whose website it was on, but the DOI was saying that the foundations for the lines, etc., where the grass verge is, are already in being. They're already in situ.
Really?
So, well, I didn't know that, but it was either on yours or 3FM. They said the foundations have been laid there, ready for the tram lines. Whether they are, whether they aren't, I don't know. But that, if that is the case, why is there such a humongous delay on doing anything? Is it just because it's coming up close to the election and people are chewing the cud and throwing their weight behind it just to make it look good, and then once the election's over, it'll all drop into, well, which we jokingly say on the promenade, the long grass.
Yeah.
We've got the lines. They bought the lines sufficient to go along the entire length. They did have to modify them because didn't they bring that German chap over with his grinding machine and took the edge off them because they were from a railway as
yeah.
opposed to a tramway.
Well, I remember when it first started by Castlemona Avenue, they derailed it the first day because the rails weren't right.
That's right. They were a different style of rail. They bought them from a miniature railway that had shut down, and they bought the entire stock. Where they are, where they've been stored, I do not know. They were down at the harbour. But they bought enough lines. This is what they were boasting about. We have enough lines to do the job. We got a good bargain. Well, it's not a bargain if they're left to rust somewhere. Before the trams could run successfully, a German fella came over, and he was a week, fortnight or something, with this particular machine taking the edge off the lines and making them suitable for running a tramway system as opposed to a railway system. Don't ask me what the difference is, but mm-hmm. apparently they were not completely suitable. So they had to be modified slightly.
Yeah.
But if the foundations are there for the tramway system to run through, why has there been such a hold-up? Why has there been the hemming and hawing and people saying we don't want it? They didn't want to do it. That's what it was. But now they're coming up to an election time. And as I said yesterday, that slippery pole is just waiting. And they're going to jump on the bandwagon now to make sure that they don't upset too many people in the public. But if that foundation's there, why can't they start straight away?
I noticed something the other day as well, and I mean that the gap where they planted the weeds, especially for you know where the horse tram's going to go.
Yeah.
If anybody parks with a large van, and I know people aren't supposed to park vans on the, in the herringbone, but people do. Large vans protrude over the back of the pavement, so they're going to be in the way. They're going to have to police large vans parking there, which at the moment they're not doing.
Exactly. And a lot of the vans, are particularly, nothing against them, the lads that come over and do work, they'll be carrying equipment on the roof. And we got ladders, etc., and they back in, and they got an overhang of a ladder on a roof.
Yeah.
They're going to have to find somebody or shift that vehicle to get the horse trams along. Plus, you've got an awful lot of people these days with cycle racks on the backs of their cars.
Yeah.
And when they back in, they're protruding out 3 and 4 feet. And if you're walking along what is the existing pavement, you're going to have to go onto that grass track or whatever it will be at the time to avoid these. You're having to do that now. But if the horse trams are going along, anybody with anything protruding off the back of their vehicle, car, van or otherwise, is going to stop the horse trams.
Mm.
But when they initially said, well, we put them on the promenade, on the walkway, oh, we can't do that because of the big tanks that's over there, and the horse tram running over that will create too much vibration and damage the tanks. Well, I've never heard so much rubbish in my life. And I was only thinking the other night, if they put those along there, that would destroy the ability of the fair to come over. If they had the horse trams running along the walkway, and then they thought, oh, we won't be able to put the fare there and we won't be able to get a rent on it.
Mm. Well, you know, I mean, if they agree by, I don't know, let's just say after the election, October, they agree to go ahead. If it's going to be 40 weeks, that's going to be August time, August 2027. Mm-hmm. They may be finished, which means they'll be ready for August 27, so they'll be ready for the summer of 2028 if they go ahead this year.
If they go ahead, but if the foundations are already there for this, then that is work that does not have to be done and should not be included in any tender that goes out.
Yeah.
And the lines are there, so there's no purchase there, and I remember those trams running along the centre of the promenade, and that point system that they've got at Broadway, it's farcical, because they never had anything like that. The trams used to change automatically.
Yeah, that's right, they did, yeah.
They never had any levers poking up out of the ground or this, that and the other, and having to redesign it all. The trams would do it automatically, and they had a lot of these points, and they'd been going for years and designed by the Victorians, not by the man sitting behind a computer.
Yeah.
But as I say, we'll just wait and see what comes of this. But the farce continues, shall we say.
All right.
And let's hear from Tim Krukoff, whether the foundations were put in there.
Yeah, two questions, really, is are the foundations there? And secondly, if you've got the rails, the only cost surely is going to be in the skill and the manpower to actually put the things in.
Yeah, well, this is where it is. The chap that had to go in a place with a hammer and ring a bell, but charged them thousands and thousands of pounds. And he said, well, he only hit it once. He said, yeah. I hit it once, but the big bill come with knowing where to hit it. That's one of these stories that the government come up with.
Yeah.
He has a man there that knows where to put the tarmac.
All right. Okay, Howard, we appreciate your call.
Okay, take care.
Cheers now. Bye now. 24 minutes past 12, and I think Robert's with us now. Hi, Robert.
How you doing?
Did you get on with your pole dancing? Okay.
I messaged them on Facebook, but they haven't got back to me yet.
Oh, these are the people at the Ellen Vannin Gymnastics Pole Dancing Centre, is that right?
Right, okay, well, crack on with that. Is Will trying to give up his cigarettes with the tarmac again?
Who knows?
Well, good luck to him anyway. Look, Douglas Town Library, or Douglas City Library, is shut today because they're doing refurbishment.
Right.
So I'll let people know if they want to log on and get the books sorted and get the newspapers and use the computers and things like that, you know?
Right. So of course, they've got a full range of newspapers in the library, haven't they?
They've got three or four, I think, and then the local ones as well.
Wow.
Do with the Guardian, like. If anyone wants to donate it, that'd be nice.
Wow. Good. What else is on your mind, Robert?
Yeah. Not much.
Okay, all right, let's go to Sue with us. Hi, Sue.
Hi, Andy.
Yeah.
Wanted to talk about Ramsey Harbour, Ramsey Quay.
Okay.
And the now cancelled proposal of a wall.
Right.
I mean, I sent a message into last week's show and you read it out and you said that it was the first time you'd heard of it. All I can see when I look at maps of Ramsey Harbour and Ramsey Quay is that there are two jetties that protrude out into the sea.
Yeah.
And it is through between these jetties that the tide comes in. So I suggested in my message that a barrier is built.
Oh, and you said a Thames-style barrier on the entrance.
Yeah.
Yeah,
some sort of barrier that will come up when there is a threat of tidal surges or flooding, stops the sea at that point so the tide can't come in to the harbour. And then when the threat of the tidal surge has gone, the barrier comes down and ships and that lot, whatever craft need to come in and out of the harbour, can come in and out.
Right.
I also put that suggestion on Facebook and it had a few comments, people saying this is too much like common sense, they won't listen to this because it makes too much sense and everything like that. But the general consensus of those was similar to that idea, why not put lock style gates at the jetty entrance so that when, again, there's a threat of a tidal surge or anything, you can close the harbour off, you can close the quay off. So some people were able to see that point of view, is that where the tide actually comes in, just stop it at that point. Instead of building walls, whether they're 2 foot, 4 foot, 12 foot, whatever, just stop the tide coming in at that point. And because it would only be closed for the time or the duration of the tidal surge, and when the tide's going back out again, I mean, the tide is only in at full height for a couple of hours and then it starts going out again. Because people did raise the question of what would happen to the river water that runs down the river into Ramsey and goes into the harbour. Well, I can't see that that would be too much of any sort of threat to the quay, because once the tidal surge is gone, then the gates are opened and all of the river water would go back, would go out to the sea.
Right.
Now I have mentioned it to an MHK, and the response that you tend to get from people in that sort of position is an initial knee-jerk response of, oh, that would cost far too much money. And my question to that is, are you sure about that? Do you know that for definite? Are you a nautical engineer? Do you know about things like this? Have you looked into them? And one of the replies was, well, the Thames Barrier cost 500 million at that. Well, the Thames Barrier is huge. And it was built back in 1984. So the comparison of cost isn't there. And engineering kind of come on leaps and bounds since 1984 when they actually opened it. So it beggars belief, really, that their knee-jerk reaction is, no, that would cost too much money, when they haven't even thought about it and haven't even asked questions about how much would it cost to put some sort of barrier or some sort of lock gate system at the jetties where the water comes in, instead of building hideous walls and things around Ramsey Quay. Ramsey Quay is beautiful. Ramsey is lovely. People come to see the swing bridge moving. So why wouldn't it be a tourist attraction for a barrier or a lock gate system to stop the tidal surges? To me, just building a wall is just taking away some of the beauty. Even if it's just a 2 foot wall, it would still take away the beauty. And I feel that if they built a 2 foot wall, they would then have people tripping over it, and then they would say, well, it is a trip hazard, so we're going to have to make it larger. We're going to have to make it 4 foot, and then we're going to end up with a 4 foot concrete wall.
That's, as you say, that's part of the problem, that you may get mission creep with that, where, as you say, the wall itself creates an impact. And as you say, people then just say, well, make it bigger anyway, and then there won't be the impact.
Yeah, exactly, because during some of my lunch hours, I drive through along the quay, and I sometimes sit round and watch the tide, watch the sea, and sometimes I sit in that little car park and I face out to the harbour, and it's lovely just watching the fishing boats, just watching the tide, watching the seagulls and watching all of that. If they built definitely a 4 foot wall, I wouldn't be able to see that, and the people who sit outside of the pubs like the Trafalgar and everything, they wouldn't be able to sit on those benches outside the Trafalgar and look out to that harbour. I mean, I know now that it's gone down to we will build a 2 foot wall, but like you say, if there are issues with people falling over a 2 foot wall, then they would extend it and say, well, it's too dangerous, 2 foot wall, we'll make it a 4 foot wall. So again, you're going to lose your tourist attraction, you're going to lose people going to Ramsey because they're going to say, well, no, it's hideous now, it's okay. Lost the beauty.
Okay.
Well, so why not put that stoppage of the tidal water where the jetties are?
Well, if anybody's in the business of tidal gates or anything like that and can point us to how much something like that might cost, because it's not too wide a gap, is it, between the two miles of it?
Exactly. And that has been my point, is that it's not a huge area. You know, it wouldn't need something as big and expensive as the Thames Tidal Barrier. It just needs a small barrier or a small set of lock gates, something that can stop the tide coming in.
Okay.
And because it would be a temporary closure, the river water wouldn't be that much of an effect.
I think what we're finding out is how much a view is worth, Sue.
Well, it did disappoint me that the initial question from people on high, or the initial comment from people on high, was, oh no, that would cost too much money. And you just think, well, you haven't even thought about it, you haven't even looked into it. Do you know that for definite? Start looking into it and you might find some sort of answer there, instead of building a wall, instead of upsetting everybody on the island by building a hideous wall.
All right, Sue, good to hear from you today. Thanks for being with us.
All right, thanks, Andy.
28 minutes before one. Alan's on now. Hi, Alan.
Hello, Andy. I applaud what Stu's just been saying about the Ramsey Harbour. It looks beautiful and it's very nice. The problem is, I walked down the harbour wall when I first came to the island in 2006. And it's beautiful, as you say. But the thing is, down the harbour wall, there are slits in the wall to allow the water that flows in through the harbour to flow out again. So if you put a harbour gate or a lock gate at the end of the pier walls, all that would happen is the water would come round the side, down the side, and would then flow in through the slits that are there. You'd have to block the slits as well.
Oh, right.
And I think that's done part and parcel of making the pier, or making the harbour wall strong. So, yes, I agree with what she says. Putting a 2 foot or 4 foot wall around Ramsey Harbour is not nice. But, you know, the practicality is you need to look at what's actually there already in the first place. But I'm not an engineer, but I've just walked down there and that's what I've seen. So I think that's why you can't put a harbour lock there.
What were your thoughts on a 4 foot wall?
I wouldn't agree with a wall at all. I think leave it as it is. But, you know, they say they've got to build a 2 foot wall. Well, build a 4 foot wall would be ridiculous, because I think it would just destroy the harbour.
Okay. All right. Alan, we appreciate your call. Thanks for calling today.
Welcome. Take care. Bye.
All right. 26 minutes to one. Plans for that 12-storey development on the site of the former Lord Street bus station have been recommended for refusal at next week's planning committee. The proposals include a multi-screen cinema, bus information centre, 85 apartments and parking. A report due to go before the planning committee on Monday says the proposals would represent a significant development on one of the more prominent sites in Douglas, which has been underutilised for decades. It says the design will not be to everybody's taste and would result in a significant change to the character and openness of the street scene. It concludes the proposal has a number of benefits, but the non-provision of affordable housing and public open space are too great a departure from planning policies to approve. So that 12-storey development on the former Lord Street bus station recommended for refusal.
A ground source heat pump can save thousands of pounds a year, and you can harness this energy on island with Geothermal Limited, the water borehole experts. Visit drilling.im and see how a ground source heat pump borehole works. That's drilling.im.
Top of the Tops, brought to you by The French Shed. At five is hospitality, a wide range of aprons, kitchen uniforms and front of house clothing unique to your business. New entry at number four is our eco-sustainable and organic ranges. At number three is workwear. Be safe, be seen and get your brand recognised. Sticking at number two, sportswear, names, numbers, sponsors, logos. We do it all. You pick the colours and we'll do the rest. And at number one is corporate wear, embroidered or printed, professional and stylish. Find us at theprintshedIOM.com, on Facebook or at Braddon Bridge Industrial Park.
Getting to your ideal weight can be a journey full of ups and downs, dead ends and diversions. But at Kingsley Mooty, we can keep your weight loss journey moving in the right direction with dedicated support throughout from our in-house clinical team and treatments tailored to your specific needs. Start your online consultation today at kingsleymooty.com or call 625040 to book an appointment with our trusted team. Rated 5 stars by over 100 patients. Kingsley Mooty. Your health, our commitment.
Visit Ramsey Art Gallery for a fabulous range of top brand watches and stunning gold and silver jewellery, gifts for all occasions, and of course our gallery of prints and original artworks. Find all this and more at Ramsey Art Gallery Jewellers and Engravers opposite the RNLI shop.
That new furniture feeling, it can become a bit of an obsession, and that's just how we like it. Fresh collections are now in at Lifestyle Furniture. Beautiful living and dining ranges, sumptuous sofas, sensational handmade beds from Harrison Spinks, Enchanted House, and more. Plus, dazzling art and decor to complete the look. Find your new obsession. Visit Lifestyle Furniture. Pop in at Snugborough Trading Estate, Union Mills. Open 7 days a week.
Are you a small charity here on the Isle of Man? Are you looking for volunteers, hoping to raise awareness and chasing those crucial pounds and pennies to support your work? Well, Manx Radio can help. You could be our next 1-3 Charity of the Week. With daily on-air coverage, podcast and social media promotion, we can help support you and those you help. Just email the numbers 123@manxradio.com and listen out for the feature each weekday between 1 and 3pm. The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
068 says, Andy, delighted to hear that the Lord Street development's been recommended for refusal. Far too big, out of proportion, not right for the area. Well done to the planners. Common sense prevails. Joe dropped a note in to say, does anybody know how much it's costing to use Opal coaches as a replacement for bus vanning for certain school requirements? While the strike's ongoing, is the DOE paying or are the individual schools covering the cost? Also, did the Department of Education ensure students had access to remote schooling before the strike date? Seems as though none of the MHKs took this strike seriously. Well, it's still on. We're almost halfway through. There is a contingency service for the buses. But, yes, the strike is still on. Juan's with us now. Hello, Juan.
Andy, I've been on hold since 11 o'clock. I'm on my third omelette. How are you doing? I haven't spoke to you for a while.
Oh, Juan, I've missed you.
I've got winter withdrawal symptoms here. It's I wanted to get on for Pancake Day last week. I wanted to do a straw poll for the MHKs to find out if they were flippers or tossers. And I missed it. Oh, I don't know. What can I say? the seawall. Julian was talking yesterday, I think, about the Aquafence. I believe Aquafence has it's actually been a company that's actually registered an office in England quite a few years ago, so they are actually operational. But I do remember this was a big thing the other year when I was actually there and watching all this happen. It was a big report in the news over there. how they use this system to support the hospital, which is a massive hospital, and it's right on the side of the Hillsborough River. And of course, when they get flooding there, they get flooding. But it brings us back to the point of Ramsey. And I think if I remember looking at the seawall that they proposed, they'd actually had an elevated walkway on the seawall as well. Did you see that, Andy, on the picture?
Didn't spot that, an elevated walkway.
Yeah. It looked to me because there was a ramp going down at each side of the swing bridge, and then it had them nice little cartoon characters of people walking on an elevated walkway, and so the wall was holding a walkway which you could go along and view the quayside. But again, the 4 foot wall. The question has to be asked: is it needed, and how many times that it floods badly there? And the whole aesthetics of Ramsey is going to change, beside the car parking, but the whole aesthetics would change. And I think, you know, as Julian was going into specifics just today about that, a transportable system could be moved to wherever if the weather was going to be bad on the other side.
Well, I would say, Julian, if it's your property that floods, once is more than enough.
Oh, absolutely, Andy. I mean, I live in a flood area in America, so, you know, you're talking to the converter with that. I noticed when I was last walking down the quayside in Ramsey that, as Will said before about sliders, a lot of the doorways there have actually got holders in place to put sliders in. So they're actually prepared for that, and they've got them drilled into the walls, so you can actually fit the sliders in, either probably aluminium that click together or wooden ones. So they're actually prepared, you know, as a house on the seafront, you know, in risk of flooding. I think the main problem seems to be when the flood water is high enough to go down into Parliament Street, which causes the problems, but that's not very often. But I'm just wondering, you know, with the 4 foot wall, where do they get the reports from to build this stuff? I read somewhere that Arup are doing reports on this stuff, and they're again, Arup had caused a lot of problems with their reports with the UK and the Isle of Man, because these governments follow it. So it'd just be nice for the invisible people behind the scene to come forward. And of course, Dr. Wayward was defending names when she was there about bringing these people forward. But these people should put their names to this stuff and be accountable for where this information comes from and the need for it. Because £8 million, £9 million pound, you know, they say it very fast. It doesn't sound a lot, but it's our taxpayers' money. And, you know, is it really needed for the amount of times that we get that amount of flooding? So I think that's the question that needs to be asked on that, Andy, do you think?
OK. All right. June, we appreciate that. Good to hear from you.
Take care, Andy. See you soon.
18 minutes before one. Yes, the tramway has most of the rails for the horse trams. Michelle Haywood, the MHK former DOI minister, has been in touch. And Michelle said the tramway's got most of the rails for the horse trams. Additional costs are needed for the points and the stops along the way. Most of the cost is the construction work to install the track extension and traffic control required to allow the work to be carried out. Martin, when the MER built the Snaefell Mountain Railway from Laxey to the summit, it took 6 months from start to finish. Most of the work was done with a pick and a shovel. It was manual work. How on earth is it going to take 40 weeks on the promenade is beyond me. Alan, with a note in, Charles Gard, Sarah Maltby, MHK and Howard are quite right. In my own words, stop delaying, just get on with the horse tram tracks all the way to the sea terminal. How hard can it be to lay some rails to the original destination? Giddy up. What a government we have that can't complete a simple job that was agreed as long ago as 9 years. If they can't do this, how do we think that they can actually run the country? Well, that's been mentioned before, that this prevarication with the horse trams is almost a metaphor for how things are being run on the Isle of Man, i.e. if you've agreed to do the horse tram tracks, you got the money to do the horse tram tracks, and you're not doing the horse tram tracks, what's standing in the way?
Hello, this is Doug Farragher. In conjunction with Manx Radio, I'd like to invite you to join us and learn something about our native Gaelic tongue, the language of man.
You've been talking for weeks. They're funny and they're thoughtful and they say all the right things and...
Babe, I'm stuck abroad. I just need a little money to get home.
And that's the moment. The moment a romance turns into a crime. Scammers build trust, then strike, leaving victims heartbroken and out of pocket. If someone you've never met wants money, think. Protect yourself. Stop communicating with them immediately and report the incident. A message brought to you by Isle of Man Bankers Association, Financial Crime Partnership, the Isle of Man Constabulary, and the Cybersecurity Centre for the Isle of Man. Visit csc.gov.im.
Do you know, Dave, the Q-Plus counter always has just what I need. Whatever plumbing job I'm working on, whether a state-of-the-art bathroom or the latest heating system, Q-Plus always help. With extensive supplies, friendly, knowledgeable service and great prices, it really is the one-stop shop for trade and DIY customers alike. And if they don't have what you want in stock, they'll find it for you. See for yourself. Just take a look at Q-Plus on Facebook.
Many people are struggling. You can help by volunteering or making a donation to Isle of Man Food Bank, whether it be food or essential items or financial support. Please call 646 999, brought to you by Descon Office Interiors.
Elevate Rubber Cover from Rubber Roof Shop for one-piece flat roofing systems. No joins, no leaks. We also line commercial box gutters in one piece up to 60 metres with a 20-year written warranty against leakage. Call Rubber Roof Shop on 49667.
The latest edition of Manx Radio's Breath Mindfulness podcast with Karen Hardman is available now.
Hi, I'm Karen and welcome to my Shake Off Sleepiness Relaxation.
Brought to you by the Good Health Store on Station Road in Port Erin.
There's no need to follow the crowd. Breathe out the temptation to say yes to everything today.
The latest in the Breath Mindfulness series with Karen Hardman and available now at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
It's 14 minutes before one. Regarding the horse tram, says Pete, I believe the lines were purchased that turned out to be the wrong type and once laid had to be reprofiled. Being the wrong lines, they also needed a set of points at the villa. That's Pete's story. And John said it's the 150th anniversary of the world's oldest tramway. Visitors landing at the sea terminal will need a shuttle bus for the missing section of the tramway. Got a message in from Josie who says much the same thing. All those people who are greeting cruise passengers all this summer long are going to have that fixed smile ready when they say, where can I get on the horse trams? And they point and say, way over there. I wish we understood the value of Douglas Promenade Wall View. The prom has lost some of its attraction. That's a texter 382. And Gaz says the government's telling people to use Find My Bus online during the bus strike. Many elderly people who rely on bus services don't access the web, while many tech-savvy people will probably be driving. Shows the government is out of touch with parts of society. Liz in Cumbria said the lady who spoke about lock gates made a good point. Here in Whitehaven, we have lock gates. Liz is in Cumbria. They certainly didn't cost as much as the Thames Barrier. They also have storm gates at Ardrossan. So Whitehaven and Ardrossan. And Suggy, double the cost of the Douglas gates and you have your answer. Also, you create a marina. Oh, dear me. Cancelling the Great Wall of Ramsey is a great idea, says Rich. Why can't a car park with at least 100 spaces be created on the empty land at the corner of Christian Street and West Quay near the Isle of Man Farmer's Shop? There's an acre of cleared building land sitting empty, crying out to be used as a car park, and you're only a minute away from the shops. How is it not being used as such? The estate agent's for sale sign has been there so long it's gone mouldy. If you want to do something for Ramsey and the people of the North, turn it into a car park and see how much busier the top of Parliament Street would become. And it would make a lot easier picking up fish and chips or a Chinese easier. Just my opinion, says Rich. And Texter 068 says, I can't understand why there's been so much fuss and delay about completing the horse tramway. It's only carrying a tram and one horse. It isn't a high-speed railway with a huge weight on it. Right, the horse tram story is, Sarah Maltby MHK, the Douglas South member, has put forward a motion calling for the business case to be brought forward in April April sitting. At the moment, they're putting it to May's Timbal sitting. She says the government is dragging its feet.
I would be encouraged if it hadn't took 9 years to get to this point and have all these different promises that have been made over the years. I put down my motion to the March Timbal to say we would like to see the business case, the implementation plan and the fully costed report brought to April's Timbal. That's 8 weeks away. So for me, that's sufficient time to be able to bring forward a document, which we've already been told has been drafted, it's ready to go, and it's been seen by all the necessary people who needed to see it. So 8 weeks already feels like a very generous timescale. So disappointed to hear that the minister today is indicating that it'll likely be May's Timbald that we see the information. I do feel like we are just delaying this decision yet again till May, and I will be speaking to that in the March Timbald. This kind of historic landmark is really popular all around the world. You know, it's something that we should be really proud of, and the fact that we are still tinkering and just playing around the edges with things is just, it's just not good enough. By saying, okay, we're ready, we'll bring it to Mace Timwood, I just think, come on, pull your finger out, let's see it in April. You know what,
giddy up, in effect.
Giddy up, you know, we're ready. We're ready to see it.
William says, any thoughts on that, what Sarah Maltby has to say? William says, surely all these recent plans and improvement schemes being rejected must be costing money. Shouldn't the DOI issue a clear scope of what planning is likely to accept before costly plans are drawn up and submitted? The building engineers I work with always work to a defined scope. This is the Lord Street scheme that's been it's recommended for turning down. It's not been turned down, but it's recommended that it be turned down, that it be refused because of the lack of affordable housing and public spaces. Well, see, regarding the horse tram, says Steve, it's that's 40 weeks of disruption along the main Douglas routes. Why not put the trams on the prom walkway? It's not used that often, apart from the fun fair and some car parking. A bit of common sense might help. Trams on there. Horse trams, let them run on the grass verge. It will be wonderful. Just a small bollard on the pavement to stop vehicles intruding. Get volunteers involved. Let job seekers help lift, carry and maintain it like a work party. Well, you can put that idea forward, 382. The best idea, says 390, the best idea for the horse trams is to get rid of them. Move on. Like a proper electric tram, like every other city in the world. And what do we do about the heritage? Right. The president of the Isle of Man Law Society says student loans are now the single biggest barrier facing young people who want to go into higher education. The government accepted last year that the current funding system can put students from lower income families at a disadvantage. And across the UK, there have been growing concerns from graduates who worry that they may never finally pay off what they owe. From the Timwell Youth Select Committee, this is Chris Webb.
There are only so many firms that can take on trainees, so that is... And it's a case of, because articles are in fact a work-based thing, that I'm not saying it's a barrier, but there are only so many firms that take trainees on in a given year. Firms obviously always think to the future and are always trying to encourage talent to come through. So in terms of barriers or in terms of issues, the only real issue is one of, shall we say, availability, I would suggest. But talent will always out, because by way of example, this year and only this year, Man Benham has 6 trainees. Normally we take 1, so we feel very fortunate to have 6 people who came, and we thought, well, we'll offer them all articles. Now most firms will offer maybe 1, maybe 2. I'm not suggesting for 1 minute we'll be offering 6 next year, because it's a strain on the resources, because you want them to shall we say get the best out of their training, and you don't want them to, shall we say, be stuck in an area where they don't want to be. But obviously what we do as a firm, we rotate them every 6 months. But in terms of barriers, I'll be honest with you, the biggest barrier I see to education at the minute is the introduction of the student loan. Not because, shall we say, people shouldn't have higher education, but more from the point of view of the fact that that is a potentially something that you could be labelled with for a long time once you are qualified. Now, you may or may not have heard on the radio this morning about the interest that is charged on student loans in the UK. And fortunately, at the minute, that hasn't necessarily had a ripple effect on the Isle of Man. But to me, that is one of the bigger issues.
Lots of people are going to be thinking about this because many students will be heading to university from the Isle of Man in September. Often we talk to them when we go around the high schools. And the cost of getting higher education can basically put low-income families at a disadvantage, and I just wonder what your thoughts are. Perhaps that applies to you. Russ Foster is on tomorrow, the Chief Constable of the Isle of Man Constabulary, will be on tomorrow if you want to get a message in beforehand. Well, of course, you can take your chances and call 66 13 68 tomorrow, or text or WhatsApp or email. But if you want to call the answer phone on 682 631, we can play that out tomorrow. So Russ Foster's on tomorrow. A week tomorrow, Nick the Pharmacist will be back. Nick Kay will be, I don't know whether you've followed this story of Cape Verde, where there was a big stomach bug. Two people died. And Nick will be talking about conditions when you go abroad, what you need to plan for, what you, basically, and also what not to eat. Isn't it? Not, don't drink the water, don't eat the salad, or use the ice cubes. Anyway, he knows far more about it than I do. Nick Kay is on a week tomorrow, the pharmacist, coming up in the next few... Michelle Hayward's going to be on Man in Line in the next few weeks. Also, the Cabinet Office Minister, David Ashford, and Theresa Cope from Manx Care, the Chief Executive, will be in. And also Rob Callister, the Planning Committee Chair, which is timely, given the fact that Lord Street development has been knocked back. And just a quick word, if you have a stretch of land. Manx Utilities is appealing for landowners to get in touch as they if they have land that could be used for solar energy. Manx Utilities says solar generation projects expects expects for those wider mix of renewable technology on the Isle of Man, and is keen to gather information to understand which land may be available and any potential constraints. Have you got land that could be used for solar panels? Ground-mounted solar panels, hybrid solar developments and associated infrastructure. If you've got land, you go to gov.im/procurement. You've got till the 20th of March. Maybe the government should tell them they've got all the government buildings. They can stick solar panels on them all. If you've got land with low environmental constraints, low visibility and minimal shading, they'd like to hear from you. Andy, the Whitehaven lock gates created a marina there in 1998, cost £6.7 million. The value now, says Andy. That's it. Thanks to producer Chris today. Back tomorrow with the Chief Constable on Man in Line.
WINT.